24th, right? Yeah. May the 24th, that's really going to come up on us real quick, isn't it? Yeah. Right? So we need those volunteers, you know. It really would be great. We really need that. And, you know, if you can talk to Daryl, and I'm going to volunteer Charlie right there, and talk to Daryl or Charlie, and if you can be a part of that, and then they can tell you what they really need specifically, okay? So praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to the name of the Lord. I want you to go, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm going to take up with where I left off last week. I may even repeat some of those things that that I felt that the Lord had revealed to me and showed me, and take them into a different level here today. A proclaimed identity. A proclaimed identity. You know, there's a lot of Christians that they give their hearts to Jesus, and it's sad to say that they never come into really understanding or knowing the fullness of what their identity really is in Christ. And so it's very important for you to receive. There was a word that was given here this morning that said, you know, that Jesus is the kingdom. Jesus is the kingdom. You know, how you find the kingdom, and I'm going to take it a step further, is through the Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that manifests the kingdom of God into our lives, and that we begin to experience all of the provisions and all of the blessings, the promises, and more that come with the kingdom of Almighty God. God has got a purpose. After you were saved and you gave your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, He's got a purpose of inheritance to bring forth into our lives. This is called sonship in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, you may not really feel like that you're a son. You may not feel that you really have righteousness in your life. But these are things to be believed upon and unfolded by the power of the Holy Spirit. I want you to look at this, and it all begins because we begin to receive the knowledge of the truth in the Word of the Lord. It's got nothing about how you feel or what you think. You know, we all have feelings that about ourselves, and they're not always necessarily good feelings, are they? And you know, when you become to the Lord, the enemy really wants to magnify to you and I so much about those negative points or those negative things that we find about ourselves that are not like the Lord. There are habits and there are practices that I know that Christians have been battling all of their lives since the day that they came to the Lord. Many of them, we just kind of begin to get so defeated about them that we begin to ignore them and learn how to live with them. And this becomes the work of the evil one. Because I want you to know that if you're in Jesus this morning, I want you to know that you have victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. You may not know how to obtain that victory. Don't worry about that. It's going to be the power of God that's going to cause you to obtain that victory in your life. It has been bought and paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ. It starts as we begin to believe upon the Lord for that inheritance that we've received in Him, that we begin to identify ourselves with the new identity that has become our inheritance in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we find right here. I'm going to go back to this verse right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And it begins to make a statement about Adam, and then also revealing that Jesus is called the last Adam. Here's verse 45. So also, as it is written, the first man, Adam, and that's what the name Adam means. It means first one or first man. It also means like federal head. So he's the head or the first man of all mankind. And all men have been born after Adam. And Adam made choices that took place in the garden. And because of that, he fell from grace and he came to be a man that was of flesh and of blood and inherited a sin character and nature. And all men that are born after Adam, if you're born after in the flesh, then you're born after Adam. And you have received a sin nature. This is what we refer to as original sin. You know, there's original sin and then there's actual sin. Original sin comes by having forgiveness and you're being restored into the righteousness of God that comes as a gift through what Jesus accomplished upon the cross. But all men are born in sinners as need of a Savior. You might be a good sinner. You might be a very wicked sinner. It doesn't matter what kind of sinner that you are. A sinner is a sinner before Almighty God. And salvation is found only in the Lord Jesus Christ, because Jesus paid the price for our sins that we may be saved from the wrath of God that is to come. And then, so we find this about the first man, Adam. But then it goes on here in verse 45 and it says this. It says, let me read it again. So also as it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam, and that is referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, became a life-giving spirit. And if you've been born again by the Spirit of God, then you have inherited or received of that new man. I really don't have to go into detail to tell you what it is to be born into Adam, the first Adam, the Adam of the garden. We know what it is like. We know what we have received. If you've been born again by the Spirit of God, you are no longer in that old man. You are now in the Lord Jesus Christ, into the new man, the man of the Spirit. And that's who you are. If you're a Christian, if you've been born again, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, then this is who you are. You are a spirit man. You are spiritual in character and in nature. You know, one may say, well, now, you know, you talk about that spiritual stuff. I don't have a clue about what you're talking about. I don't really think of myself or look at myself as being spiritual. But this is who you are in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what the Spirit of God is looking to do in your life and in my life, is to bring you and I into the fullness of that inheritance in whom we are in Christ. This is our identity. You're no longer in Adam, and you're no longer in that old man. That doesn't mean that you do not have to contend with him, but you're no longer enslaved to him. You are no longer a slave to sin. Sin no longer has dominion over you as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. You do not have to obey sin. You do not have to act in sin. You do not have to follow sin. Now, I know there's a lot of people that would disagree with that, but that is the truth of the Word of the Lord. And as we begin to embrace the truth and believe upon the truth of the Word, then these things begin to get manifested in our life by the power of the Holy Spirit. We begin to find the fruits and the character and the nature of that new man being made manifest in us by the power of the Holy Spirit. But it first comes by agreeing with God, where you begin to agree with what God has to say about you, and that you become so bold that you even begin to speak those things that you've received in the Lord Jesus Christ. You've heard me to say that there is a law of receiving. That law of receiving is, number one, is that you believe in your heart. You cannot receive anything that you will not believe upon in your heart. And what that means, when you believe upon your heart, you know, the heart receives. That's what our heart does. And so what we do is we receive it. We let it be Lord over us. If we believe that Jesus saved us and forgave us of our sins, then we yield ourselves to that knowledge. We yield ourselves to that fact. We yield ourselves to that truth. Not just simply intellectually acknowledge it. We give our heart to it. The second part of that law of receiving is that, number two, is that we confess it. You know, we believe in our heart and we confess with our mouth. We come in agreement with what God has to say. You know, now we'll do that when it comes to salvation many times in saving us. But when it comes to the things of the Spirit, When it comes to the blessings of being in that new man, the truths of being into that new man, a lot of times Christians are very reluctant to say things about themselves that they don't see. But that's the way that you come into these blessings and provisions by the power of the Holy Spirit. Matter of fact, you receive it and believe it before it's made manifest in your life. This is exactly what happened to you when you got saved. You didn't see and wait to see the salvation of the Lord. You took a chance and you stepped out in faith and you said, I'm going to believe it. I'm going to believe it and I'm going to receive it. And once you believed it and once you received it, there it came. The power of Almighty God that saved you from your sins. Well, let's go on and we see a little bit more about what's being said here. Here, I'm going to go on down here. It says in verse 46, however, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and then the spiritual. Do you see there very clearly that is implying that if you're in Jesus, you are spiritual in nature. You're no longer a flesh and blood man. You are a new man in Jesus. And this is your identity, made after the likeness of the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. You were made after Adam of the garden, and now by being born again by the Spirit of God, you are now made after the last Adam, who is the man of the Spirit. He's no longer a natural man. He's now a spiritual man. Well, let me go on. Let me read a couple of scriptures here to you, for example. You know, here's one that I want you to hear this. This comes from Romans chapter 12, and it says in verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, that renewing of your mind is that you begin to take on yourself new thoughts, you know, new thoughts of life, of truth, of righteousness, of the word of the Lord, and you begin to take them into your heart and you begin to think in a different way. The Spirit of the Lord begins to take these things and cause them to take root in your heart and your mind and begin to talk to you and tell you who you are now that you've received the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at this again. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. And this is what happens to us in Jesus. We're not being reformed. We're being transformed. There's a great deal of difference. It's not mind over matter. It's not the power of positive thinking. I didn't say that there's not positive elements to it, but it has nothing to do with the power of the will, simply having a different perspective. This is being transformed by the power of Almighty God. That word, I'll give you that word right there, that word transformed, it is metamorpho. It's metamorpho, metamorpho. And that's where we get the word metamorphosis. And it means to be changed from one state of being into another. And this is the power of Almighty God. God is transforming us from the mind and the heart and perspective of the old man in Adam into the heart and the mind and the perspective of the new man in Jesus. And that's who you have received. This is the great work of the Spirit of God in your life. This is the first and foremost work of the Spirit in your life and in my life. A lot of times, you know, we don't understand all that what God is doing, and He is faithful and He will lead you. But I want you to know, and He will bless you and bring forth every promise that He's given us in His Word. But His promises do not come before this transforming power of Almighty God. The root and foundation is being sons of God, when it comes to the salvation of the Lord, being made like Him. This is the first and foremost work that the Spirit of God is doing in your life and in my life. We need to yield to Him and let Him have His way. He'll bring us through every trial, every trouble, and every difficulty. He will remain faithful and true through the thick and through the thin, no matter what you face, no matter what you go through. But He is moving also with other directions and motives in our heart. And that is that He's after things that are in us that are not Christ-like, that do not look like Him, to remove them from our lives so that we can come into more of that man of grace, that man of the Spirit, that man of glory. Not only of glory, but also it coming with it is the power of Almighty God. A lot of times when we talk about the power of God, everybody thinks about, you know, supernatural gifts or what it would be. And surely that is a part of the power of God. But you know, the first and foremost foundation work of the power of Almighty God is to make you and I more like Jesus. This is the great work of Almighty God, to give you power over sin, to give you power to walk where in that old man you could never be found and you could never walk. So many are trying to walk with Jesus in willpower or in discipline in some form or some fashion, and it never works. The only thing that ever accomplishes in any believer's life is it just brings you to being wore out spiritually. And that's why you find that many a believer becomes burned out in their walk and their efforts before the Lord, because it's all being by willpower. Let it be by the Spirit of the living God. And by the Spirit of the living God comes the grace of Almighty God that changes you from in outwardly to be manifested in the character and the nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. Things that you and I cannot accomplish on our own. Well, let me go on from there. You know, let me read that again. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. The transforming power of Almighty God. Here's another one I don't want to read to you. This comes from Ephesians chapter 4. And this is now in verse 22, that in reference, now listen, in reference to your former manner of life. I want you to hear that. In reference, not to who you are now, but who you used to be, but who you are no longer. In reference to your former manner of life. Listen, you lay aside the old self. Let me stop there for just a minute. That old self is that old man, Adam. He has to be put in his place in your life. But you are no longer enslaved to him. This is what you need to understand. You do not have to obey him. You know, there's a lot of people. Do you understand deception is very, very, very powerful? And there's a lot of people, a lot of Christians that believe that they have no power but to sin, but to do whatever is dictating to them at that particular moment in time. That sin is too great, that sin is too mighty, and it's too powerful for me to overcome. But you understand that is nothing more than a lie and a deception. And it's not the truth, but it's buying into the lie that gives power to the sin. It's buying into the lie that gives power to the sin. And when this renewing of your mind comes by the power of the Holy Spirit, because you let it come by the power of the Holy Spirit, you begin to think in a different way and say, no, just wait a minute. Wait a minute. That's just not, I don't have to obey that anymore. Do you understand? That is a great stand in light and in truth of the word of the Lord. I'm not going to put up with that anymore in my life. Although I'm powerless to do anything about it, I'm not going to put up with it anymore in my life. And I begin to believe on the promises of Almighty God. I begin to believe upon the truth of the gift of righteousness, of the nature and the character of true holiness and sanctification that belongs to the believer to be free from the slavery of sin. I'm not saying that this happens overnight. I'm not saying that it happens in an instant. But it's a pathway that we begin to walk and a manifestation that the Holy Spirit begins to bring upon us. Let me go on and read that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self. Now, let me just simply say, you understand, lay aside. This is a faith action, all right, to lay aside. How do you lay it aside? You lay it aside because this is a faith action. I begin to receive on the basis of faith everything, all power, all anointing, all holiness, all truth, all discipline that's of the Spirit, all obedience and all love comes all through the grace of Almighty God. It's all through the grace. Matter of fact, a lot of times my self-discipline, my efforts of my self-discipline are getting in the way of the Holy Spirit and are creating hindrances in me because I've not let go of self in trying to accomplish the new man in Christ. We let go of self and we let go to the Holy Spirit in the grace of God. Let me read this again. So this is a faith action. You lay aside the old self. Notice that reference right there. He's the old self. It's not who you are now. It's not your identity now. And then it goes on, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit. Then verse 23 says, and that you be renewed, listen, in the spirit of your mind. You begin to think in different ways. This is why the word is so important to you, that you're ruled by truth and not by perception of thought. When you're ruled by perception, then you believe everything according to the way that it appears. We receive the new man on the basis of faith through grace. We begin to stand on the promises. We begin to make confessions of those things that we do not have, that we do not see, but believe that they belong to us in Jesus. And we begin to make a bold move that we begin to say, that's mine. That's mine. I am not him anymore. I will not be that way anymore. But I am going to walk in Jesus. I am the Jesus man. This is what it goes on and says right here. Let me read this again. This is now in verse 24. Again, this is found in Ephesians 4. And this is verse 24. And put on the new self. Now, did you hear that? The Bible refers to the old self. And then now here in verse 24, it says put on the new self. So you're no longer the old self. You are now the new self. You're no longer the old man Adam of the flesh. You're now the new man of Jesus in the Spirit. Now let me read on and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God, did you hear that? In the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. This is what we have received in Jesus. Let's turn to another place real quick. I want you to turn over to Romans chapter 8 real quick. I'm going to show you just a few scriptures here in Romans chapter 8 that has to do with the truths about being this man of the Spirit. I pray that you begin to receive these things into your life and begin to stand and believe upon them with all of your heart. I said before to you last week, I think, that what are the reasons why we don't proclaim these things? Why Christians do not proclaim them? Number one reason is because of They don't know about them. They don't know about them. Another one is the deception. This is a big one that the enemy uses. Is, oh, now. I mean, I may be a lot of things, but I'm telling you right now, I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I say this as gently as I can. Please lay down your self-righteousness, because that's what's speaking to your heart. I'm not going to be a hypocrite. You will go to your grave waiting for the transforming power to come into your life, because that's not how God brings forth the new man, the man of the Spirit. It has nothing to do with being a hypocrite. The devil uses that all of time against believers in Christ to cause them to back down. You know, all he's got to do is say certain key words, and then, then I'll back down. You know, I'm going to wait till I see it. I'm not going to proclaim it. I'm not going to act upon it. I'm not going to make that confession about myself until I see it, and then I see it, because I don't want to be a hypocrite. You're being deceived. This is another reason. Another number three would be a reason is the fear of being, I can't be that uppity. You know, I can't be that uppity in the Lord, you know, and make such confessions, of freedom, of victory, of righteousness over myself. Liberty. I can't make such confessions over me, you know, because I don't want to be a hypocrite. And that's being just a little bit too uppity in the Lord. You know, what God is pleased with is when we agree with what he says about you. That's what God is pleased with. He's pleased when we agree with him. Now, real quick, let me look at these things. These are truths of what God has to say, of what we've received in this new man, the Lord Jesus Christ, the man of the Spirit, the Jesus man. Look here, this is in Romans chapter 8, and I want to look here, just select verses. This is in verse 9. This is Romans 8, verse 9. However, you are not in the flesh. Should I repeat that again? This is the truth of the word of the Lord, excuse me, of the believer that is in Jesus. It says right here in verse 9, however, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. You know, the first evidence, you know, of being in Christ is that, you know, I want to be pleasing to the Lord. I want to follow the Lord. You may not know how to follow the Lord, but I want to be pleasing to the Lord, and I want to follow the Lord. Notice that the word of the Lord says that you are no longer in the flesh, but you are what? In the Spirit. I would say that sin no longer has power over you. Bad habits no longer have power over you. Things that have always been your way and your nature, no longer, that are of sin and of the flesh, no longer have power over you. Well, now you're in the Spirit. You're now in Jesus. You're in the new man. You're no longer in the old man. I don't care what your behavior is. I don't care what your habit has been. I don't care what you haven't been able to get out of your life. It'll never get out of your life till you begin to stand on these truths of the word of the Lord. And you begin to make proclamation of these things. And the devil is going to hit you with every objection that he can hit you with to cause you to back down. Because they're on their way. The new character, the new nature, the new way, the liberty, the freedom, the truth, the power, and the righteousness, the heart and the mind are all coming. They're all on their way in the man of the Spirit. Here's another one I want you to look at. I want you to come over here, if you would, into Romans chapter 6 real quick. We'll come back there, and I'm going to read just a couple of things. This is in Romans chapter 6. Now, look with me. Here's another truth of being in the new man. Here's verse 6, knowing this, that our old self, now I already read something about that, didn't I? I read that in Ephesians chapter 4. Knowing this, that our old self, look here, was crucified with him. Look at this part. If we didn't understand it, he goes on to make it plainer, that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. You know, that's when you begin to find the power of Almighty God, when you begin to confess these truths over your life. You know, and then what the first person wants to say something and said, now what do you mean, Pastor? You mean you don't sin anymore? Whatever. I didn't say that. There's a difference between I don't sin as much as I used to. I don't sin as much as I used to. There's a difference between sin and sins. I have been set free from sin. I may still have some sins by the lust of deceit that are operating in my life that I haven't got light on yet as to where their source is, or where it's coming from, or where its power is found. And maybe I won't even be revealed to me by the Spirit of God. I just keep yielding it to God, and I keep making that confession of who I am, and I'm going to find that power being broken in my life. The Holy Spirit may tell me the source if he wants me to know about the source, but that's not the point. He wants me to believe and to trust. That becomes the point. And as I believe and trust, then that's when I find the Spirit of God moving. You know, there are some things that are so complicated about you and about me that they're almost impossible to unravel. They're almost impossible to unravel. They have come about as something and a power in our lives that we don't even understand about ourselves. You know, you don't even begin, now what I just said, you don't even begin to see that or have those thoughts or that knowledge about yourself until you begin to even walk after the way of the Spirit. You become aware that there are things that are not like Jesus, and I don't know why they're there, and I don't know where they're coming from. If the Lord wants to show you, he'll show you. But if he doesn't show you, he wants you to believe in him and trust him. And he wants you to stand in the new man, the man of the Spirit, the new self in whom you are in Jesus, and watch him break the power of every wicked, evil, fleshly, worldly, ungodly thing in your life. Just a few other things, and then I'm going to close here. You know, so this is the truth of the word of the Lord. And then we find here in verse 11, look at verse 11, even so consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. You know, that used to bug me. I used to argue with God. I used to be irritated. Oh, consider. What do you mean, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, you know? Okay, Lord, I'm considering. You know, I felt very frustrated. This is a faith action. Are you? You begin to take up and say, I am not in Adam. I'm in Jesus. I'm a Jesus man. Everybody say, I'm a Jesus man. I'm a Jesus man. I'm a man of the Spirit. I am no longer a man of the flesh. I'm not enslaved to him any longer. But I've been made free in Jesus. Here's verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin... Boy, that's a powerful one, isn't it? Therefore, do not let sin reign in your... In your what? In your what? Everybody say, in your what? In your mortal body. This is this flesh man, right? And that what he's talking about right here? So we're not talking about... This is simply position in Jesus. You know, that's what religion does. You don't have to obtain anything. You don't have to bear any fruit or anything. It's all philosophical. It's just being... A position of being in Christ. Well, you know, our position is now is that we're in Jesus. Well, there's part truths to that, but they tend to leave out the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit of God that causes you not only to have that position, but that you also obtain all of the attributes, the power and the glory of that position of being in Him. That's why it says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. Look here, that you should obey its lust. The evil one in sin says, you got no power over me. You got no power over me. You can't help it. You can't. If you're here today and you have that mindset, get rid of it. Because it's a lie. It's a deception. You can't help it. That's just who you are. That's just who I am. No, it's not. Not if you're in Jesus. Not if you're in Jesus, because you're no longer in the flesh. Didn't we read that? You're no longer in the flesh. What are you? You're in the spirit. Either get saved because you never had a real born-again experience in the Lord Jesus Christ. And either get saved, quit being churchy, and become a real true Christian by experiencing Jesus in your life, or begin to proclaim who you really are and watch that power be broken from your life. And you and I either fall in one or the other category. I just got a couple more verses. I want you to come down here. I want you to go back if you would. I've got you. I want you to go over here. I'll see. And let's go to Romans chapter 8 just one more time. Romans chapter 8 one more time. And I'm going to show you two places. This is in Romans chapter 8. And coming on down here, it says in verse 15, for you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. And this is the greatest work of the transforming power of God. The greatest work of the transforming power of God is this. Oh, Lord, may I know you. Oh, how I longed for you. How I need you. Oh, may I know you. And this becomes a driving force in the life of the believer that propels him forward to dare to walk in things that just don't feel natural. Because you're so propelled to have him, obtain him, know him. Last place, again, the adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father, sons of God. Last place is in Romans 8 again, and I want you to turn to verse 29, and it says, for whom he foreknew, that's you and I in Jesus, he also predestined. Don't get tied up on that word. You know, the predetermined plan of Almighty God. That's the predetermined plan of every believer. He also predestined to become, look at this, conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Sons of God. Sons of God. Kathy, why don't you all come on? A life-giving spirit. So we are no longer in the flesh, but we are now in the spirit. I know that that might be like a confusing thing to some. We're going to talk more of it, but I want to leave that with you. If you're in Jesus, you're no longer in the flesh. I don't care what is hanging on you. If you're in Jesus this morning, you are no longer in the flesh. Your life is not found after the flesh. The word says you are now in the spirit. Now that is a beginning point of a great possession. Will you step into it? Will you dare to begin to confess things about yourself that you may feel kind of ridiculous about confessing them? Will you confess them? Will you take possession of what belongs to you in Jesus? I'm going to pray something. I had this pressed upon me by the Holy Spirit. I saw an old-fashioned printing press. You know, you know what I'm talking about? You know, and here's what I saw. You know, here's, this was a flat. This was a wheel that had the ink, and there's a paper right here. And it was going, and then it was spitting out. It was spitting out paper, right? Spitting out paper as it goes. You know, the old-style printing press. And this is what I saw. I saw that printing press. And you know what? It had words stamped upon it. Words like righteousness. Words like holiness. Words like godliness. It had, one said gentleness. One said kindness. Another one said life. Another one said obedience. One said anointing. One said power. And they kept and spit out. You know, that machine was just going like that, right? And then you know how it goes. And it just, and the whoever's feeding it can feed it according to its timing, because its timing remains the same. You know, and they just feed, you know, that whatever they're going to have on there. And it prints it out, shoots it out. And then as I saw that, this is what I heard. I heard that I am pressing my image upon my people in an accelerated way for this day. I'm pressing my image upon my people in an accelerated way for this day. And then all of a sudden, I saw that printing press go bang, 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 bang. The Lord is imprinting His image upon you in an accelerated way today. Floodgate of the Holy Spirit be opened in the name of Jesus. The floodgate of the Holy Spirit be opened in the name of Jesus. The things of that old man are going to stop talking to you. What's going to start talking to you now is going to be the images of the new man in who you are in Jesus. They're going to start talking to you. And they're going to talk to you in an accelerated way. This is what's coming upon you in the name of Jesus. Now, what about you? Where do you long to see the image of Jesus in your life? Over that old man, most of all. What, where is it in you? What is it in you that you long to see that image in you the most? Because the Holy Spirit is going to stamp it on you now. He's going to stamp it on you now. Here's a question. Will you surrender to it? Will you surrender to it? Will you surrender to it? Everybody say something. I want you to say, I'm a Jesus man. Everybody say, I'm a Jesus man. Everybody say, I'm a Jesus man. Everybody say, I'm a Jesus man. I'm a Jesus man. All right, now, here. Let me do this. Captivity, leave this place in the name of Jesus. I loose you, all captivity. I loose you in the name of Jesus. And I command all captivity to leave this place in Jesus' name. Likeness of Jesus, come forth to the beloved of the Lord in Jesus' name. Likeness, come forth of Jesus in Jesus' name. Now I want you to do something that belongs to you now, and that place of longing. And now, if you've been ho-hum, or if when I said that, you're like, I don't know where I want change. You need to press into the Lord, and you need to walk with God, because you're not walking with God if you don't have an awareness of yourself. But for those of you that have that longing, and you knew the minute I said to you, where do you long to be more in the image of Jesus in your life? You knew exactly where that took you in your heart. You knew exactly where it took you. Now, when the old enemy begins that he wants to bring that back on you and remind you of that, here's something I want you to do. Everybody say with me, I'm a Jesus man. And that's what you're going to do from now on. Every time that it begins to creep up, or, you know, the tendency or whatever, and all of that, even maybe you will fail. I don't know. But what you're going to do, no, I'm a Jesus man. Everybody say, I'm a Jesus man.
I'm a Jesus man.
All right, let's stand. Amen. Let's go ahead, Kathy, if you would.